And welcome into the Thursday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, alongside the youngins, Jake Lyman, Connor Newt in the house today. Jacob, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Yeah, we got me and Mr. Newt today after we've kind of tag-teamed the last couple days, so should be a fun show.
Really just energizing having you both in here. The youthful energy that you bring. Usually I'm dealing with somebody who's a grown man suffering from gout.
Right.
So quite the turnaround here.
We do bring a significantly less amount of gout to the show.
There is no question about that. Connor Newt, how we doing? 2 days in a row. You in here at 6 o'clock?
Yeah. It's energizing, to say the least.
Remember, Jake, when I was telling you about how the week went on a couple weeks ago, Connor Newt, I thought, was dead. We're getting that vibe again this morning.
Yeah.
He's struggling a little bit.
He says he's bringing the energy, but we're going to need you to show us a little bit more, Connor Newt.
Ask me again at like 8 a.m. I'll be better.
I'll ask you at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
We got a lot to get to on the program here today. We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up later this hour at 6:45. Bill Bender from Sporting News will be with us at 7 o'clock. We'll get into some college football with him. Alex Doherty from the Tennessean, who covers the Predators, at 7:30. And the Rob Rant coming up later in the show as well. We'll take your thoughts in the meantime. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Jake, your quick thoughts on the NBA draft last night. You'll be stunned to know that Cooper Flagg was the first overall pick by the Dallas Mavericks. So, we knew that was going to be the case in the aftermath of the Dallas Mavericks making just a stunning trade in the middle of the regular season, sending Luka Doncic to the LA Lakers, and then winning the NBA draft lottery, which sparked a lot of conversation around here. But Cooper Flagg officially now a Dallas Maverick. Dylan Harper going number two overall to the San Antonio Spurs. But all in all, I did not spend a whole lot of time watching the NBA draft last night. I saw Cooper Flagg get drafted. I saw Dylan Harper get drafted. And frankly, much past that, I did not care last night.
I think I watched the first 10 picks. I'm a medium Phoenix Suns fan. I don't follow closely enough to really care all that much, but I watched until they made their pick. They got Malawach from Duke, which I'll take it. I knew who he was, so that's a start in the NBA draft.
That is.
There wasn't too much that was shocking last night. I think Ace Bailey going 5 was probably the biggest change from what was being projected. And he was kind of all over the place, not taking workouts with any teams. And the Jazz ended up taking him one spot in front of the Wizards. So, it's the NBA draft. You get outside of the top 4 or 5, and a lot of those guys probably aren't going to make much of an impact on the NBA. But Cooper Flagg makes the Mavericks at least somewhat contenders in the West. And Dylan Harper adds another young piece to the Spurs. I think that's probably the extent of who's going to make an immediate impact for some of these teams.
The one thing I'll say about the NBA draft, which is so much different than basically every other sport, is you better wait a hot second before you put that hat on when you get drafted. Because the NBA draft, more so than any other one, you get drafted in a certain spot and then you're like immediately traded. It happens all the time. And it happened several times last night.
Well, I heard this on the way in, and I do agree that the NBA needs to start just announce the trades. I understand.
Yes.
Like, the league year doesn't start until July 6th or something like that. But having these players go up and wear the hat of a team who they are clearly not playing for is the stupidest thing ever. It's like,
what's that photo of, like, wasn't it Kobe?
He got
a Charlotte Hornets hat or something like that, and everybody knew he wasn't going there.
And that was, 25 years ago? More than that? And they still haven't changed this.
Yeah.
Like, Malawach is the example. Everybody knew that that pick was traded in the Kevin Durant trade earlier this week. But he goes up there and puts a Rockets hat on. It's the stupidest thing ever. Let these guys have their moment where they're actually wearing the hat of the team they are going to go play for. The NFL's figured it out with all the draft day trades. And I get that's after their league year has officially started. But the NBA can do this. It's all semantics. I guess something could fall through and maybe somebody fails a physical and you have to take it back. But for the most part, just let the players wear the hat of the team they are actually going to play for.
Yeah, Kobe drafted by Charlotte in 96 and traded to the Lakers for Vlade Divac. So, good wow. move by Lakers.
Yeah.
Worked out pretty well.
One of the greatest trades of all time.
Worked out very nicely for L.A. there. So, congratulations to those drafted in the NBA draft last night. For some reason, the NBA has decided that this now needs to be a two-day thing when you have two rounds in the NBA. So, day two of the NBA draft coming up today. So, congratulations to that.
I mean, I could not understand less why this needs to be a two-day event.
I have no clue.
We talked about it earlier this week off the air that last year it made sense with the whole Bronny thing of people are going to tune in to see where LeBron James' son goes.
Yeah.
Tonight?
I have no reason to tune in.
We could play a game of NBA draft prospect or random name, and I couldn't tell you who any of these players getting drafted tonight are.
Yeah.
So I will not be tuning in tonight. I don't really understand why they made it a two-night event. The NFL, it makes sense.
Yes.
You know, you've
the NFL draft, they figured it out.
Everybody's going to tune in day one. Yeah. Everybody's going to tune in day two. And then day three, it's something to have on in the background.
And it goes by very quickly in day three, yeah.
But I mean, it's the NBA second round, I don't even really care to have that on in the background because most of these players probably won't even make the team. They're going to end up being G League guys or playing in Europe. So I don't understand it, but, you know, I guess the NBA, they've got people smarter than me who are making these decisions.
I'm not sure that they do. They're making a lot of dumb decisions lately, but we'll see how that works out for the NBA. Scott Wheeler was on with DVD yesterday, and we're going to play some of his comments coming up here in just a few minutes. But I do want to touch on his last and latest mock draft for The Athletic, as the Predators are now one day away from the NHL draft. And it's interesting. I mean, you'll be hard-pressed at this point to find a mock draft anywhere out there that does not include Matthew Schaefer going one to the Islanders and Michael Mesa going two to the Sharks. You'll probably find some, but usually that's trying to either manufacture some trade or trying to be different. That's basically, I would be stunned at this point if it's not Schaefer at number one and Mesa at number two, but we'll see. Wheeler, in the latest mock draft, has the Predators selecting Porter Martone at number five, who is the winger that we spent a lot of yesterday discussing, and James Hagans falling all the way to number seven, being selected by the Boston Bruins. So he's got Brady Martin, I combined two draft prospects there, Brady Martin being selected at number six by the Philadelphia Flyers. So Hagans dropping all the way to seven. There's a lot of discussion out there about Hagans right now and what's real and what's not real in terms of people expecting him to drop. There were some more reports / rumors put out there yesterday of, man, you know, I'm hearing that James Hagans, he might fall a little bit more than people think he would in this draft. And this is similar to the NFL draft just in terms of when you get this close to it, what is actually real and what is not real. I don't know. I'll tell you this. If it's the Predators, in my opinion, and they've got both Porter Martone and James Hagans sitting there at number five, that's a pretty good spot for Barry Trotz to be in at that point. Look, I've said it. They're gonna come away with a good player here at number five. There are different styles that a lot of these guys and a lot of these centermen bring to the table here. Martone is not a centerman, but he can end up being, I think, a pretty good player in the NHL. But if the Predators are having to choose between James Hagans and Porter Martone at number five, I'd probably sign up for that right now if I'm a Predators fan.
I think a lot of Predators fans would sign up for that. I mean, you've got two really good players, and I understand the feeling that you have to kind of take a center when you're this high because you've been searching for that elite centerman pretty much since the inception of the franchise. But it's when you're picking number five, it should be best player available, especially in a sport like hockey where it's not like this guy's going to come in and be your second line center right away. You're building, and I know this was a large topic with Jared yesterday, but you are building for the future with this pick. It doesn't have to fill a hole right now. You should take the player that you think is going to be the best NHL player for you, regardless of position. Hagans, I think, would be a great pick at five, but if Barry Trotz really loves Porter Martone, and I know I saw I think it was in Wheeler's mock draft that they spent a lot of time watching Porter Martone.
Yes.
And sent a lot of executives up there to watch him. Then if that's your guy, that's your guy, and you shouldn't pass on him just because he doesn't play center.
I'm not sure how much this matters in the discussion. I don't think it really should matter all that much at all. I do think, like, Martone, if they picked him, he would have a chance to play pretty early. Like, there's a reason that Porter Martone just played in the Men's World Championship with Canada. Like, he's solidly built. Yep. Physically, he's probably NHL ready. Like, he's got, I think he's listed at 6'3", 204 pounds. So, like, he's got some good size to him already. That doesn't guarantee that he's, like, immediately ready to play in the NHL. But I do think just from a physical makeup standpoint, he's certainly probably more ready than Hagans is at that point. Again, I don't think you can draft that way. Like, you don't draft Porter Martone because he's maybe ready to play quicker than James Hagans is. What you're doing here is you're trying to project long-term who's going to end up being the better player. That's ultimately what matters here. But if they did take Martone, then I would at least think that there's a shot that he could start with them this year. Hagans, I don't think so. I think Hagans is probably going back to college, if I had to guess.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you. I think you don't make that part of your decision-making process of who's going to be ready faster, because if Porter Martone, and I'm not saying that he's this type of player, but if he is a six-year third-line winger, but he plays immediately, I would rather take Hagans, who, yeah, maybe you have to have him cook a little bit longer.
Yep.
But he ends up being your top line center for 10 years. I'd much rather have that, even if you have to wait 3 extra years to get him there.
I thought it was really interesting having Scott Wheeler on our station yesterday. He joined DVD and kind of broke down a little bit of the Martone and Hagans conversation, which is a lot of what you see right now in these mock drafts as it relates to the Predators. We'll get into that coming up next. Take your thoughts on the Predators in the NHL draft. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
And you have the Predators taking Porter Martone, the 6'3", 208-pound winger, who had 98 points, including 37 goals in 57 games for Brampton of the Ontario League last season. What more can you tell us about the Predators' interest in Martone throughout the draft process and why you feel he is their guy at that spot?
Yeah, it's been a name that I've heard a lot sort of late in the process. I know that the Predators were around Brampton and their new arena in Brampton, well, old new arena, but their relocated arena in Brampton after the move from Mississauga slightly down the street to relocate the Steelheads for his draft year this year. I know they were in the building a lot. I know they have expressed a lot of interest in Porter over the course of the season. And you watch enough of Porter and you can see why he would be a natural fit for a team like the Predators, who are dying for a premium top of the lineup forward prospect, really one that they haven't ever had in the history of the organization, with all due respect to Philip Forsberg and David Legmond and some of the forwards that they've picked high. The true premium pieces that have come through Nashville have been Roman Josi and Seth Jones and Shea Weber and sort of on the blue line. And now is an opportunity, drafting as high as they are, which has also been a rarity for them as an organization over the years, now is an opportunity to add a sort of truly, truly high-end player. There are a few there that I think they would consider. I think they should and will consider James Hagans out of Boston College. James is a high-end, high-skill centerman who would project potentially to be a first-line center for them someday, and certainly should be a top six player for them someday if they were to take him at number 5. But I've kept coming back, despite the quote-unquote perceived need within the Predators organization for a centerman, I kept coming back to Martone. I kept hearing Martone. He would add a little bit more size to their group. They do have some depth at the center ice position that's coming. Yegor Surin was their first-round pick a year ago. Everybody was introduced to Fyodor Svechkov this year with the NHL roster a little bit. So they do have some young players coming down the middle. Obviously, they have sort of good depth on the wing as well, whether that's James Haggins' Boston College teammate, Teddy Stiga, or Matthew Wood, who everybody has been introduced to now a little bit. But they've got good depth within the pool, good depth within the organization. There should be waves of young talent on the way, Tanner Molendijk on the blue line, et cetera. But Martone would give them their top prospect, and it wouldn't even be close, frankly. And I'm a big, big believer in Tanner Molendijk, but just a true cut above that. So would James Haggins, for that matter. But Martone is the name that I've heard linked to them more often than Haggins in the last few weeks here.
It is that time of the week. It's time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
All right, best thing in sports this week was yesterday. We got a fun pitching matchup in Milwaukee. Paul Skenes, Jacob Mizorowski. I thought that was it was great. I thought the MLB did a great job of marketing it. They made it the free game of the day on MLB TV. They put it on MLB Network. Mizorowski actually ends up out-dueling Paul Skenes. And the
pumping it in there, man.
The Miz was right here in Nashville just a couple of weeks ago playing for the Sounds. And it's too early to make any kind of comparison, especially with how fickle the elbow can be for MLB pitchers, but he's got some DeGrom in him, throwing 96-mile-an-hour sliders. He sent, Willie Castro for the Twins to the ground last week. So I thought that was awesome. Great matchup and a great way to market two young rising stars in baseball. I'm going to stay with baseball for my worst thing in sports. You did a little rant on this, Robbie, on Tuesday. The umpiring in Game 2 of the College World Series National Championship on Sunday, throwing out Kevin Schnall and the first base coach for Coastal Carolina in the first inning. Just horrible. It was an ump show. We need better umpires at all levels, but I think especially at the college baseball level. You can't make that moment about yourself in a game that big on that stage. So that was horrible. That's my worst thing in sports this week.
Connor Newt, your best and worst things in the world of sports for this week.
My best would definitely have to be the Jake knows where I'm going with this, of course. The Dynasty Deep Dive on Tuesday we got for the brand new.
You're such a nerd.
Yeah, I know. The brand new College Football 26, which, Robbie, this is the part I encourage you, or I try to sway you to buy it. It's not going to be the same game. It's going to be much, much better.
I don't know, man.
You got to do it, man.
This is typically how I operate, or how I have operated. Now, granted, I'm now 32 years old with a wife and child.
Of course.
So it's a little bit different now. But, I mean, typically I would go, like, I'll go buy NHL 17, and then I'll buy NHL, like, 20.
Yeah.
And I'll go buy Madden 15, and then I'll buy Madden, like, 19.
We're
like,
done with Madden now.
Yeah.
We're completely done with Madden.
I don't blame you.
But the worst thing in sports, I would have to go with Florida State quarterback Thomas Castellanos' comments this week, claiming he's tore up the ACC last year by himself. He is dead last in passing yardage as of last year. Claims Florida State's not going to be the same team it was last year, which may have some truth to it, but I'm not 100% sure it's going to be because of him. I think there's a level of cockiness to this guy, and I don't know why it's there, but it's there. So Thomas Castellanos is my worst thing in sports this week.
Didn't he start talking about Alabama
at
some point,
too?
He did.
And then Lenora Sellers came out yesterday and said, yeah, that guy's an idiot. Don't listen to him. So
I watched Thomas Castellanos personally in Lane Stadium get blown out by a 6-6 Virginia Tech team. So I would say he did not tear up the ACC. That would be my...
Maybe he did, but like
they
the,
opened the
wrong
season
way.
With Alabama. It's Alabama at Florida State.
Lord.
On August the 30th. I mean, at least they got it at home, I guess.
But it's going to be a great day of football that day. You got Texas, Ohio State to start the day off, Alabama, Florida State, and then what's the late game? Notre Dame.
Yeah, what is the late game? The week I remember looking at it. The week is it week?
Clemson, LSU.
Yeah, Clemson, LSU. That's the one. Yeah.
That's pretty good. Like, that's a pretty good start.
Castellanos had
football
the
season there.
He had the worst QBR in the ACC, by the way, with a 38.3.
Yeah, it's not very good. Not very good. My best thing in sports, the Florida Panthers Stanley Cup celebration continuing to rage on. I don't know if you've seen some of the videos from this. Like, it's still it's not Washington Capitals level in 2018
right.
where Ovechkin is, you know, swimming in the fountain out there. I don't know that anything's ever going to really top that. But the Panthers, like I'm specifically Sam Reinhart and Matthew Tkachuk, I don't really know how those two guys are still alive based on some of the videos that I've seen. Like, they've not slept at all. They did an interview with the Spittin' Chicklets podcast from the pool in the Bahamas the other day, and they were talking about how they had basically gotten like 5 hours of sleep that week since they won the Stanley Cup on Tuesday. And it's like, guys, maybe time to dial it down a little bit. But hey, they're enjoying that second championship. So some of the videos have been very funny.
I was at that Caps parade in 2018, and they were getting after it.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember all the videos of them at the Nats game like 3 days later, oh, and yeah. Ovechkin was just
bombed.
Absolutely hammered.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Panthers, they're putting up their best performance after winning the second straight Stanley Cup. They've been all over the place.
Was it Sergei Bobrovsky who was just roaming around his neighborhood with the cup?
That was Barkov.
Barkov.
Yeah, Barkov right. was rolling around.
Knocking on doors
knocking
at 4:30
on doors at like 5 in the morning. Be like, hey, I have the Stanley Cup on the Ring doorbell. It's pretty funny. Pretty good stuff from the Panthers. My worst in sports real quickly. I don't know if you guys saw the Travelers Championship last week, but Tommy Fleetwood, I feel bad for you, man.
Brutal.
Had it won on that last hole and then just totally choked.
Some choculation going on.
I mean, that you know, it's golf. That happens a lot in golf where the moment just becomes a little too big, and it's painful to watch because it's just you out there, man. There's nobody else. It's just you playing. So, tough one from Tommy Fleetwood this past weekend. We got Cam on the text line that says, the worst is when the Braves aren't playing the New York Mets. Boy, do the Braves own the New York Mets this year.
I don't know what it is, but the Braves who have – it's been a disappointing year by all accounts for the Braves. But when they see the blue and orange of the Mets on the other side, they turn back the clock to that World Series team a couple years ago.
It's and weird.
They play their best baseball.
It's really weird. Like, they get – like it's like they get the – Kyle Vandenbosch, red contact, red eyes out there. Like, oh, it's the Mets. We've got to kill them. It's been really weird to watch, but I know that I know Braves fans have enjoyed it. I know that Willie Donick has not. So we'll see. See if that continues.
I'm sure Willie and TD are not having a great week watching the Braves beat the Mets.
Not very happy. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll be joined by Bill Bender from Sporting News coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on all things college football. Alex Doherty from the Tennessean will be with us at 7:30. We'll get back into the Predators and the NHL draft with him. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.